بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن رين الذنوب ومطردة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب، وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. الله سبحانه وتعالى says that they were not commanded, i.e. the believers were not commanded except to worship Allah in a state in being completely sincere to him, sincere to Allah in faith in the religion, inclining towards truth, and to establish prayer and to give zakat and to and that this is the correct faith, the correct religion. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are in our fifth session or fifth lesson on Imam Ghazali's Ihya. And in our last session, we reflected on perceptions of perfection. We reflected on the multi-layered problem of perfection projection, the problem of perfection simulations in the brain that fills in the blanks and create the simulations that create distorted view of reality. And we also reflected on the need to pay attention to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And this came from the exhortation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْخَلْقِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ. That if you are comparing yourself with those who have been given beauty and wealth, the things that we want to show, the things that we tend to show, if you are in this business of comparing yourself, then be sure to make comparisons with those who are less fortunate than you. فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ وَنْ لَا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. That's better for you than belittling the countless favors you enjoy from Allah in every moment of your life. Every moment of our lives, we enjoy countless. If we start to count them, we will not be able to. The amount of favors we are enjoying, blessings that we have from Allah in every moment. And if we spend our time just only in comparison with those who have more than us or who are more fortunate than us, then we will belittle those favors. We will lose value for them. So he's saying to make sure that you compare with those who are less than you. We also looked and pondered the perception of perfection in knowledge, because knowledge is one of those areas that is used to project perfection. And we looked at this, we looked at the limitations and the changing nature of most of human knowledge, the insignificance of that of the entire collective body of human knowledge in comparison with the perfection of Allah's knowledge, what Allah knows. We said that knowledge are of two types, the changing and the eternal, المتغيرات والأزلي والأزلية. And we said that knowledge that are these two types, our knowledge of things remain dependent on those things from which the knowledge comes from. And that when those things change, they render our knowledge into ignorance. And sometimes these changes can occur in individual items in existence that we know. For example, subatomic particles changing into antimatter and then back into matter. The point when they change, that our knowledge about those things then are no longer knowledge. They are guesses or perhaps the assumptions or ignorance. And sometimes we have changes in large superstructures of knowledge, in paradigms. For example, up until the 1960s, the collective scientific wisdom, the scientific knowledge at that time on the nature of the universe was that we live in a closed system, a system that was considered eternal. That's how they saw it. They saw it that this, it had all the energy and everything that it first came into being, or that it existed eternally. But then they discovered redshift and forced to accept that the universe was expanding, exactly as the Quran said 1400 years ago, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ, that the heavens, we have constructed it, this universe, we have constructed it with strength. And indeed, we are its expander. We expand, it's expanding. And so once you accept that the universe is expanding, you're able to work backwards and you arrive at a point of the universe coming into existence. And again, here again is exactly as the Quran says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Have those who disbelieve not considered that the heavens and the earth were joined into a single entity, and we split them apart? We split it apart. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, and we have created every living thing from water. From water we created every living thing. And then will they not believe? And so this is the nature of our knowledge, our scientific knowledge, and the collective human wisdom that we can produce. It carries an error factor, and that can be corrected. There's an error factor in all the things that we discover and we the conclusions that we come to. And that's the way science progresses, that the new discoveries allow for changes, for a new view. The previous knowledge and the previous certainties become ignorance, ignorable information that you can ignore. Now, and in comparison, Imam Ghazali explained in the text that we have studied that Allah's knowledge is perfect from three broad perspectives. The first was in its abundance and coverage, where nothing is missing. There are no gaps in his knowledge. The second was in depth, detail to the fullest depth without anything hidden. As when he told us about the world, he said, when he told us about the universe, his knowledge of, he created it, so he knew that it was expanding. He is expanding it, so he can tell us that before we know it. He didn't have to wait until 1960 to arrive at that conclusion. And the third thing was that it is Allah's knowledge is unchangeable. His knowledge does not come from things and is not dependent on things. So when things change, it does not invalidate his knowledge about them. And we also saw Imam Ghazali's prescient knowledge about the fluctuating heights of mountains, where he included it in the list of human knowledge that is susceptible to change, which is it's quite interesting that he should include that, because we know the knowledge of tectonic plates were discovered relatively recently. Now, that was in regard to the changing categories, the mutaghayyirat. As for the second category of knowledge, accessible to human beings, the unchanging, which is known as the ma'lumat al-azaliyya. He writes, and we'll finish off the chapter first, then we'll continue with the other bits. He says, أما القسم الثاني فهي معلومات الأزلية وهي جواز الجائزات ووجوب الواجبات واستحالة المستحيلات فإن هذه المعلومات أزلية أبدية إذ لا يستحيل الواجب قط جائز ولا الجائز محالا. He said that the eternal knowledge fall into the category of knowledge that teaches us that about the possibility of the possible, about the necessity of the necessary, about the impossibility of the impossible. فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَعْلُومَاتِ أَزَلِيَةً. These are eternal truths, these are eternal knowledge. إِذْ لَا يَسْتَحِيلُ الْوَاجِبُ, that you would not expect something that is impossible to become possible. وَلَا مَحَالْ وَاجِبًا, or necessary. وَكُلُّ هَذِهِ الْأَقْسَامِ دَخِلَةٌ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ. And these categories are included, they are part in our discovery of the divine, in understanding Allah, in learning about Allah. This knowledge is included. وَبِصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ, and in learning about his attributes and his actions. وحكمته. Then we, through it we learn what is impossible in his attributes, ما يستحيل في صفاته وما يجوز في أفعاله, and what is possible in his actions. فالعلم بالله تعالى وصفاته وأفعاله. So the knowledge of Allah and his attributes and his actions, وحكمته في ملكوت السماوات والأرض, and his wisdom behind the creation of the heavens and the earth, وترتيب الدنيا والآخرة وما يتعلق به, in the organizing the arrangement of the world, of the universe, and in the earth, وما يتعلق به, and the things that are pertains to it. هو الكمال الحقيقي في العلم. This is the true perfection in knowledge. That is the perfect knowledge. الذي يقرب من يتصف به من الله تعالى. And this knowledge, if you have this one, a human being can acquire some of this, and it will bring you closer to Allah, because it is an aid. It is part and parcel of the aid for leading you into understanding more of the divine, to understanding Allah. وَيَبْقَى كَمَالًا لِلنَّفْسِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And it will remain a perfection for the nafs, a perfection for the person, for the individual, for that will remain after death. It will remain with you, a perfection. فَتَكُونُ هَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ نُورًا لِلْعَارِفِينَ. And this knowledge will become a light, an enlightening thing for those who recognize for those who are gifted with the knowledge of Allah, the true knowledge of Allah. Al-arifina ba'd al-maut, after death. Even after death, this knowledge benefits one. Because, and then he quotes, he switches to Quranic language. He says, "Nur yas'a bayna aydihim." The ayah is nurum yas'a, that they're not, their light will proceed on their right in front of them on the day of judgment. بِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ. And they will say that on the day of judgment, people's light, the light that they brought with them, that light will precede them. رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. Oh Allah, complete for us our light. And أي تكون هذه المعرفة رأس مال يوصل إلى كشف ما لم ينكشف في الدنيا. That this light that you will gain from discovering Allah, from this knowledge, from that you carry with you, is your capital. It is your capital that will lead to the uncovering what has not been uncovered for you in the dunya. كما أن من معه سراج خفي. And the example is of one who has a little lamp. سراج خفي. فإنه يجوز أن يصير ذلك سببا لزيادة النور بسراج آخر يختبس منه. If you have a small lamp, then it can become, it is possible that you can use that lamp to light a larger lamp, and from the light of one light to another. فيكمل النور بذلك النور, and the light of that light then becomes complete. نور بنور الخفي. So the little lamp lights the larger lamp. على سبيل الاستتمام. And so it leads into complete perfection, the completion. ومن ليس معه أصل السراج. But the one who does not have a lamp, does not have a lamp in the first place, فلا مطمع له في ذلك. So he has no hope in getting in the completion of his light. فمن ليس معه أصل معرفة الله. So the one who does not have the foundation, that little lamp, that who does not have those lights for recognizing Allah, لم يكن له مطمع في هذا النور. So he has no hope in gaining that light. فيبقى كمن مثله. And then he remains, who is like, and he gives the metaphor here, ومثله في الظلمات. He, like the one who is in darkness, ليس بخارج منها, who cannot take himself out from it. But instead, كالظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض. That it is like one who is in a cavernous sea that is covered by waves over waves, and above it dark clouds, ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض. That there's darkness over darkness. فإذا, and he's saying, so the conclusion here is that لا سعادة إلا في معرفة الله. That true happiness, there's no real happiness and satisfaction in this world and in the next without knowing Allah. And that's the conclusion, that's the crux of this, is that true knowledge is in that leads you in this direction, in the direction of ma'rifatillah, of knowing Allah. Right. So now, as we learned that hubbul jah, the yearning for position and celebrity, is a base instinct, and because of the multiple benefits that is attached to it, similar to our attachment to gold and silver, and that this is a universal problem that explains the relevance of the text that is nearly 1,000 years old, and still we, in our modern lives, we can relate to it. Now, because we're still the same human beings with the same frailties, the same shortcomings, and the same vulnerabilities that we had, that human beings had then, they're the same. However, there is something unique about our time. In our time, almost everyone feels as though they would suffer if they did not partake in this race to be famous. That's the age we're living in. You see, in previous cultures and past times, people earned their celebrity status, their fame, through their achievements, their skills, their talents, or through assumptions of them having those things like achievement and skills and talents. For example, a person would be famous for running and winning a race, or for swimming, or for boxing, or for doing something significant that people recognize. But in the 21st century, where celebrity culture has become so dominant and so pervasive, that one can now become famous simply for being famous. You do not have to have any extra any extraordinary achievement or talent, or do something, or you do not have to be, you don't have in your record something special or famous. All you need, as someone said, is to get yourself into the stream of fame, into these channels of fame. Socialites and social media celebrities who have never done anything in their lives of significance, people that you would not have not actually done anything, the only thing that happens to them is that they happen to be in these streams of fame, and their faces are now recognized by millions of people in our world today. This is the culture in which we live. People recognize faces of celebrities, but cannot explain why they recognize the face or why these people are famous. This phenomena is an indication of the extent to which our world is dominated by a global celebrity mania. That's it, a global celebrity mania. It's a symptom of the times we live in, yes. And I'm calling it a mania because it seems as though our society is so overwhelmed by this phenomena that it's losing its ability to process what it means to be a celebrity, what it means to be famous. The mania, the craze, seems to be short-circuiting people's discernment capacity. And so today I want to address this in the light of another chapter we are going to study, which introduces a new concept. That new concept, it's a concept that runs contrary, it runs counter to this mania idea, this mania, this celebrity mania, this fame mania. And it's a new word, perhaps for most of you. I'm not sure. I don't think many of you are familiar with the word. The word is khumul, al-khumul. And the meaning, which is the complete opposite to celebrity. But before I read the text, I want to deal with some of the psychological barriers that tend to creep up in the minds of students at this juncture. When one learns that khumul means obscurity, then people tend to become anxiety steps in, and you would find people worrying, and a fear creeps in, the fear of loneliness creeps in, and the worry about a dull and dismal life. People start thinking that, well, perhaps if I move away from the pursuit of fame, maybe if I don't project a little bit of myself, my life will become dull and gloomy and dismal. And I would not be able to enjoy my life at all. That's those kinds of thoughts usually surface when we talk about khumul. So the first thing I want you to remember is that when I first broached this subject, I made a point of highlighting the fact that that intense social media activity, as in seeking attention and validation, are associated with high levels of stress, anxiety, and depression, especially when your engagement with it is passive. If you're engaging with these sorts of things in a passive manner, then you suffer more. People think that, look, oh, I'm just watching. I'm not really engaging. The negative effects are even worse when the engagement is passive. That's what the research says. So you have to keep this point in mind, that we must remember that your fear of not being famous, or to put it in the modern jargon, your FOMO, your fear of losing out, or your fear of not having enough followers or likes, are more likely to lead you into depression and anxiety than khumul. It is more likely to lead you into depression than a path where celebrity is not important, where celebrity is no longer necessary or seen as an essential part of one's self-image, the way you perceive yourself, the way you perceive who you are and where you and what kind of a person. In fact, seeking the opposite of celebrity, seeking khumul, has the potential to increase the quality of your life and the enjoyment and satisfaction with it. And how do we know this? Well, as a cognitive scientist, I can tell you that we know this from the conclusion of a large body of research. Many researchers into the human condition have found that the happiest and the most well-balanced people are not those who spend their time seeking attention from multiple sources or chasing attention of large numbers of people in a celebrity rat race. That's not those are not the people. The happiest people and the most fortified, the people who are most fortified mentally, are those who, instead of seeking attention, they pay attention. They are able to have optimal experiences in life through the abandoning of the defense of the ego. They abandon that. They feel that they don't need to defend the ego. And this leads to optimal experiences in which they develop a single-minded ability to focus, the ability to concentrate without splitting their attention. They're able to focus and merge into a single beam of concentrated attention and losing themselves. And that they even lose their sense of themselves and of time. It's an inner harmony that develops through this solitary attention, which then, of course, has knock-on effects on other aspects of their lives. It strengthens their ability to deal with stress. It helps them, it prevents them from getting overwhelmed by difficulty. In fact, this line of research began in the aftermath of the Second World War, where a researcher noticed that some people did not fall apart, like most others in catastrophic situations, that there are always some people who are able to maintain their mental strengths and calmly provide help to others. And all of these people, the study was conducted across the globe in many, many cultures. And they found that all of these people have one thing in common, and that is they have this ability, this single-minded focus in this that creates an optimal experience. They don't spend their time seeking attention, but they spend their time paying attention. They're able to focus their attention, at least describe this as being in the zone, and psychologists call it flow, because in the subjects when the subjects in the research tend to describe the feeling of what happens, it is as being carried in the flow of a river with a single-minded focus. Of course, these concepts are all familiar to us as Muslims, as components of khushu', of components of uns and wajd and fana, etc. In fact, many of the findings of the research reflects insights and conclusions arrived at by our scholars over 1,000 years ago. of course, not everything, but because we live in a new reality and this presents us with a host of new challenges, but we can definitely look at the insights of the scholars in the light of this modern research with amazement. Now, what is the point of talking about this? The points to bear in mind are that certain aspects of these optimal experiences that are relevant to our discussion is that we are there are certain features in these people that has a relevance to this discussion. And one of those features is the singularity and solitude, the feature of paying attention instead of seeking attention, the feature of becoming obscure, not only to everyone else around you, but obscure even to your own consciousness. You no longer feel the need to defend your ego at all the time and worry about, oh, what are people going to think? What is this? What is X, Y, and Z? What are people going to think about you? Defending the ego is no longer necessary. You abandon that. And of course, we believe as Muslims that these experiences emanate from a natural mechanism with which we were created. And we were created with those mechanisms in order to optimize our experience and relationship with the divine, with Allah, just as the primary purpose for creation of life is for worship. But we spend our lives in the enjoyment of all sorts of things other than worship. Likewise, these mechanisms are gifts from Allah in the human being. Now, a word of caution. I do not advise, and I repeat this, I do not advise at all that anyone should go out and start buying books and reading self-help psychology books or Googling the subjects to study and apply it to themselves, because there are numerous rabbit holes in the psychology literature which one can get lost. So especially if you're not professionally trained, to do this would be like doing brain surgery from manuals. No one does that. And I always say reading psych texts with concentration is like doing active surgery under anesthesia. So please don't be caught in these minefields. Inshallah, if we have time, I will provide you with the Islamic equivalents and incorporate the new findings into prescriptions that will help you to develop and harness your potential in this area. This is the area of optimal life experience with higher goals than just winning race or solving puzzles, etc. We need prescriptions that are especially designed for a world dominated by celebrity mania. And so my purpose for speaking about this now is to bring home the point that khumul, that obscurity, is not as bad. It is not as bad for our well-being and for our happiness and for our success in life as we tend to think it is, especially as a result of being members of the society in which we live in. If lots of people do not know you, then that is not such a bad thing. And that's the point. So now let's read Imam Ghazali's treatment of this. He has a chapter labeled, what's the chapter? On khumul, yes. وَمَا يُخْمَدُ Back here, isn't it? Oh, there, yes. بَيَانُ حَقِيقَةٍ معنى الحقيقة بيان فضيلة الخمول. The exposition of the virtue of خمول, the virtue of anonymity. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب عشعث أغبر ذي تمرين لا يؤبأ له لو أقسم على الله لأبره منهم البراء بن مالك. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that perhaps a disheveled person who is covered in dust and who has a timrain, who has two rags on him or on his body, la yu'ba'u lahu, that no one pays attention to him, he's insignificant to society, that perhaps such a person who is disheveled, a person who is dusty, who has, you know, no one looks at, who has rags on, who is covered in rags, لا يؤبأ له, that no one bothers about him, لو أقسم على الله لأبره, that if he swears that Allah will do X, Y, and Z, that Allah will do something, then Allah will fulfill his oath. If he took an oath saying that Allah will do something, that Allah will fulfill his oath. And then he mentioned someone, Al-Bara ibn Malik. وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رب ذي تمرين لا يؤبأ له لو أقسم على الله لأبره لو قال اللهم أسألك الجنة لأعطاه. That a person, and then he repeats the same description, a person who with two rags on his back and no one bothers about him. لو أقسم الله, if he takes an oath, Allah will fulfill his oath. ولو قال اللهم, and if he were to say, oh Allah, أسألك الجنة, oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah, لأعطاه الجنة, that Allah will give him Jannah. ولم يعطه من الدنيا شيئا, and yet he has not given him much anything of the دنيا. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلكم على أهل الجنة, shall I not show you, shall I not point you in the direction of the people of Jannah, كل ضعيف متضعف, that all those the people of Jannah, and here he's talking about in the abundance, he's talking here about the large numbers of the people, the majority of people, the people ضعيف, he's saying the people of Jannah, كل ضعيف, that every humble, weak person, these humble people, متضعف, considered to be humble, لو أقسم على الله الأبرة, and he's showing how close they are to Allah, how beloved they are to Allah, that if they swear that Allah will do such and such, that Allah fulfills what they want, what the oath they make. وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ كُلُّ مُسْتَكْبِرٍ جَوَّاضٍ, and the people of the fire are the people who are the proud, bloated people. وَقَالَ أَبُو غَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ كُلُّ عَشْعَثَ عَغْبَرَ ذِي تِمْرَيْنِ لَا يُؤْبَأُ لَهُ, the people of Jannah are the people of disheveled, covered in dust and wearing rags, but no one cares for them. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوا عَلَى الْأُمَرَاءِ, that these are the people that if they seek permission to go into the courts, into meeting the governors and the princes, if they استأذنوا على الأمراء, they try to go to these places where the princes are, لم يؤذن لهم, that they would not be given permission, they will not be granted permission to go and see the princes. وإذا خطبوا النساء لم ينكحوا, and if they try to get married with people, they approach, they seek engagement, they seek marriage with from women, people do not give them the hand of their daughters. وَلَمْ يُنْكِحُوا وَإِذَا قَالُوا لَمْ يُنْصَفْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ, and when they speak, no one listens to what they have to say. حوائجهم حوائج أحدهم تتجلجل في صدره, that their needs and their wants, their necessities, their حوائج, their necessities, the things that they need, keep bubbling in their own chest. No one hears their needs. No one cares. It doesn't go beyond their chest. وَلَوْ قُسِّمَ نُورُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى النَّاسِ لَوَسِعْهُمْ, but if these people's light were to be distributed on the day of judgment to all the people, these people's light will be sufficient for them. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مَنْ لَوْ أَتَى أَحَدُكُمْ فسأله دينارا, that verily from among my ummah there are such people that if they were to come to you and ask for a dinar, just one dinar, ولم يعطه إياه, that he would not be given it if he asked for a dinar. ولو سأله درهم, even a pence, so coin, pence, if you ask him for a dirham, he would not be given. ولم يعطه ولو سأله فلسا, and even if he asked for a penny, he would not be given filth. لم يعطه, no one gives him. ولو سأل الله الجنة أعطاه إياها, and if he asks Allah for Jannah, Allah will give it to him. ولو سأله الدنيا, and then he repeats, he comes back to it, he said, this same person, if he asks Allah for all the dunya, Allah does not give it him. وَلَمْ يُعْتِهِ وَمَا مَعَنَهَا. And what does this mean? إِيَّاهُ لِهَوَانِهِ عَلَيْهِ. Because of the insignificance of this dunya for him. ذِي تِمْرَيْنِ لَا يُؤْبَعُ لَهُ لَوْ أَكْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. And then the same description, the people of rags, the people who have nothing, who no one cares about. And then he says, وَرُوِيَ أَنَّ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدَ. That Umar went into the masjid, فَإِذَا هُوَ مُعَاذُ بْنِ جَبَلٍ يَبْكِي عِنْدَ قَبْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That he found Mu'adh ibn Jabal crying at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالْ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. And so he says, what is it that makes you cry? فَقَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْيَسِيرَ مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ شِرْكٌ. That the smallest amount of show, riya, which is another concept that we will study after this, is riya, which is this ostentation, is shirk. It is polytheism. It's including Allah. Wa inna Allah ta'ala yuhib, and Allah loves. And what does Allah love? Allah loves al-atqiya al-akhfiya al-ladina idha ghabu lam yuftaqadu. And he's saying that he loved that, but Allah loves those pious people, those righteous people who are akhfiya, who are hidden, the obscure, the people who are anonymous, the anonymous people, the people who no one knows, who have no celebrity, who have no fame, but they are pious, they are righteous. Al-atqiya, al-akhfiya, this is the pious and the righteous. Alladina idha ghabu lam yuftaqadu. These are the people that if they are absent, no one misses them. Hey, lam yuftaqadu. No one says, what's happened to so and so? No, nobody misses them. If they come, if they arrive, if they're there, no one knows. No one. If they're absent, no one knows. Wa in hadaru lam yu'rafu. And when they're present, no one recognizes them. Lam yu'rafu. No one recognizes them. Alladina idha ghabu lam yuftaqadu wa idha hadaru lam yu'rafu. And when they are present, no one recognizes them. But they are. And then he explains what kind of people they are. He says, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَصَابِحُ الْهُدَى. That their hearts are lamps of guidance, these people. He said, يَنْجُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ غَبْرَاءَ مُظْلِمَةً. That these are lights, they're illuminated. They're siraj, they're lamps, مصابيح. They're of huda, lights of guidance. يَنْجُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ غَبْرَاءَ مُظْلِمَةً. That they are saved, they are protected, they are protected. They don't fall into the traps of the fitan of their zaman, the darkness, the dark and the gloomy calamities that befall people. They do not fall into it. وقال محمد بن سويد. This is Muhammad ibn Suwaid, who died around 100 Hijri, around 100. Yeah, he's reporting this story. And now we, in the reports I read so far, it says that if they took an oath, then Allah will fulfill their oath. So now this is a story that's showing you, and this story happened around the 100, or around the year 100. This person who's reporting it died about 100 Hijri in the calendar, Muslim calendar. So sometime before that, this story happened, and he's reporting it. He's saying, قال محمد بن سويد قهت أهل المدينة. قهت أهل المدينة. That there was a famine in Medina. The rain stopped and they had severe drought. So he says, وَكَانَ بِهَا رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ لَا يُؤْبَعُ لَهُ. And there was among them a pious person who no one paid any attention to. فَلَازِمٌ لِمَسْجِدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ. He would spend lots of time with the masjid. He was attached to the masjid. He frequented the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ فِي دُعَائِهِمْ. So while they were, بَيْنَمَا هُمْ فِي دُعَائِهِمْ, that while they were all making dua, إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ رَجْلٌ عَلَيْهِ تِمْرَانِ خَلِقَانِ. This person came and he has two rags on him. فَصَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ. The people were in the masjid making dua, asking for this drought to go away. But then this man in rags, who no one pays it any attention to, he comes and he prays two rak'ah, salah, short. وأوجز بهم two short ركعة ثم بسط يده and then he raised his hands فقال and he said يا رب أو الله أقسمت عليك إلا أمطرت علينا الساعة that I swear now that you will send rain upon us in this moment. He's taking an oath. I take an oath now that you will send rain upon us in this moment. فلم يرد يديه before he could pull his hand in ولم يقطع دعاءه حتى تغشت السماء بالغيم that before he could pull his hand in and finish his prayer his dua clouds covered the city dark clouds covered the city بالغيم with water وأمطروا and the rain began حتى صاح أهل and it fell rained so much until the people of أهل مدينة the people in Medina started to complain and starting to worry about being the things of drowning so much water was pouring فقال يا رب and then this person again did it he said يا رب إن كنت تعلم أنهم قد اكتفوا that if you know that they have now received sufficient فارفع عنهم stop the rain فسكن and then the rain stopped وتابع الرجل صاحب المطر حتى عرف منزله. So when this person who is reporting said that they saw that this man was speaking in this way and saying these things and seeing the effect of what he was saying, someone followed him to his house and see where he was living. So he went to في حاجة في المطر. ثم بكر عليه and then one see where he found out where he was living and then in the morning he came to him فقال إني أتيتك في حاجة I came to ask you for something قال وما هي what do you want قال تخصني بدعوة that I want you to make a dua for me فقال he said سبحان الله said why me أنت he said أنت وتسألني أن أخصك بدعوة you who you are and you're asking me to make dua فقال ما الذي بلغك ما رأيت he said what is it that has raised your status such that you what I've seen قال he said أتيت الله أطعت الله فيما أمرني ونهاني فسألته فأعطاني he said that all I did was I follow what Allah asked me to do and I avoided what Allah asked me to avoid it and so I ask him and he fulfills what I say so that is the simplicity he didn't say oh well I do x y and z and I'm like this and I'm that is that his simplicity he kept his simplicity he didn't see this now as an opportunity to develop his celebrity. No. He remained in khumul. So this is the virtue of khumul. وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه كونوا ينابيع العلم be springs of knowledge مصابيح الهدى and lamps of guidance أحلاس البيوت but mats of the house سرج الليل in mats of the house I mean in other words that لازم البيوت that you're not out showing off وسرج الليل but you're a rider of night وسرج الليل means the one who is standing up in prayer at night جدد القلوب that the hearts قلوبهم مجردين عن شيء غير الله that their hearts is completely cleansed and filled with Allah خلقان الثيوب لا الثياب that you're wearing old clothes تعرفون في أهل السماء وتخفون في أهل الأرض that you will be recognized by the people of by the dwellers of heaven by the dwellers of the skies by the dwellers of the heavens and تخفون في أهل الأرض and you will be hidden from the people of earth وقال أبو أمامة قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى إن أغبط أوليائي عندي مؤمن خفيف الحاد ذو حظ من صلاة that he's saying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah says that of my servants the happiest of those for me are those the believer is the one who is lightest with his burden of the world the lightest the one who is light in the khafiful hab in other words the poor people the people who don't have much to carry them ذُحَظٍ, but they have a great fortune in their prayer. In other words, in their in these optimal moments, these optimal experience, their life experiences are optimal in salah. So he says, أَحْسَنَ عِبَادَةَ رَبِّهِ وَأَطَاعَهُ فِي السِّرِّ, that he perfected his worship for Allah, وَأَطَاعَهُ, and he obeys him in secrecy. وَكَانَ غَامِضًا, and he was obscure فِي النَّاسِ, كَانَ غَامِضًا فِي النَّاسِ لَا يُشَارُ إِلَيْهِ بِالْأَصَابِ, no one points to him. فَمَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, and who has sabr for this, قال, he said, these are the people who would be أغبط أولياء, the ones who are most favored, happy, the happiest of people. قال ثم نقر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم hit the ground and said بيده, and he said عجلت منيته وقلت تراثه وقلت بواكيه, that he's called back to Allah quickly, and his تراث وقل, and he's left little of inheritance, is small, and وَقَلَّ بَوَاكِهِ, and not very many will cry over him, but he's going to bliss in the Akhirah. وَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَحَبُّ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْغُرَبَى, that the most beloved people to Allah are the strangers, the one who don't worry, who people do not know, they're strange, no one knows them. Okay, قِيلَ وَمَنِ الْغُرَبَى, قَالَ الْفَارُونَ بِدِينِهِم, those said, who are the ghuraba? Those people who run away with their deen, run away with what they have. وَقَالَ فُضَيْلُ بْنُ عِيَادٍ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ فِي بَعْضِ مَا يَمُنُّ بِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ, that Allah says, that فُضَيْل بْنُ عِيَادٍ says that it has reached me that Allah Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will say, he says in recounting his favors, بِمَا يَقُولُ فِي بَعْضِ مَا يَمُنُّ بِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ, recounting his favors and his blessings, the things that he has given you, he says, among the things that he will recount when he speaks to you is, أَلَمْ أُنِعِمْ عَلَيْكَ, did I not give you lots of favors, lots of blessings? I did not give you a lot in the world. And then another favor, أَلَمْ أَسْتُرَكَ, أَلَمْ أَسْتُرَكَ, did I not shield you? Did I not veil your sins? Did I not veil your deeds, your sins? Did I not cover you? Did I not cover you in the world? And then the last question is, Alam Akhmil Vikrak, did I not make you anonymous? Now people will see the opposite to being a favor, but Allah is saying, by making you anonymous, by keeping you obscure, did I not lead you into obscurity? Why? Because I protected you. I protected you from Hubbul Jah, I protected you from Riyah. So he said, وَكَانَ خَلِيلُ بْنُ أَحْمَدِ يَقُولُ, that Allahumma, and this is dua of one of the great ulama, he said, Allahumma, O Allah, اجعلني عندك أرفع خلقك, O Allah, make me in front of you among the highest of your creatures. وَجَعَلْنِي عِنْدَ نَفْسِي مِنْ أَوْضَعِ خَلْقِكَ, but make me in my view of myself the lowest of your creatures, the lowest of your creatures. Make me see myself as the lowest of the creature of your creatures. وَجَعَلْنِي عِنْدَ النَّاسِ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ خَلْقِي, and make me in the view of people in the most ordinary. And this is why the scholars say that if you wear too fancy clothes, then you're showing yourself, you're being recognized. And if you wear clothes that is too bad, you must wear normal clothes that no one recognizes. You don't stand out either by in affluence or in too much poverty. وقال ثوري وجدت قلبي يصلح بمكة بالمدينة مع قوم غرباء, that I find my heart settles and agrees, my heart is rectified, my heart finds peace and tranquility with people in Mecca and Medina, مع قوم غرباء, with the strange people, أصحاب بيوت وعباء, the people who are carrying their house, their tents and their baggage. وقال إبراهيم بن حدم ابن أدهم, and this goes to show that this is a beautiful story. He's talking about how he felt and the natural tendency in people to like things that seek it, to seek celebrity, to seek fame, to seek recognition, and to seek it and to like it, to enjoy it when people show you honor and give you position and put you forward. But here is the opposite, and he's describing it. He said, "Ma qarrat 'ayni fi ad-dunya qattu illa marratan." He said, "I did not enjoy true joy in this world except once." He says, "Bittu laylatan fi ba'd masajid qurra ash-sham." He said, "I was in Syria and I slept in one of the masjid. Kana bi al-batni. I had some stomach problems, so I wanted to sleep. I didn't want to go back and forth. So I decided to sleep in the masjid. Fajarrani al-muaddin." So the muaddin of the mosque, who is responsible for who should stay and catering for the mosque. Fajarrani, he said, he grabbed me by my leg. Hatta jarrani wa akhrajani min al-masjid. In other words, he's saying that if this is Ibrahim ibn Adham, the big sheikh, and that muaddin did not recognize who he was, so he grabbed him by his leg and pulled him all the way out of the mosque. So the sheikh is saying here that, look, I felt qurrat ayn, you know, that I felt the coolness in my eyes. In other words, I felt pure joy of here. Look, my nafs is being taught a lesson. وَقَالَ فُضَيْلِ إِن قَدَرْتَ أَن لَا تَعْرِفْ فَفْعَلْ. That if you are able to be anonymous, then do so. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَن لَا تَعْرِفْ. And there's no harm in for you not to be known. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَن لَا يُسْنَعَ عَلَيْكَ. And there's no harm that people may not praise you. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَن تَكُونَ مَذْمُومًا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ إِذَا كُنْتَ مَحْمُودًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And there is no harm. There is no harm if people think of you with blame, but in the eyes of Allah, that you are praiseworthy, that you are pious and you are righteous in the eyes of Allah. فَهَذِهِ أَخْبَارُ هَذِهِ الْأَخْبَارُ وَالْآثَارُ تُعَرِّفُكَ مَذَمَّةَ الشَّهْرَةِ وَفَضِيلَةِ الْخُمُولِ. So these reports and these ahadith, these sayings that we have just read, they introduces you to the blameworthy nature of seeking fame and the virtue of khumul, the virtue of anonymity. وَإِنَّمَا الْمَطْلُوبُ بِالشَّهْرَةِ وَإِنْتِشَارُ الصِّيتِ هُوَ الْجَاهِ. That the real purpose of fame and celebrity is jah, is position in the hearts of people. هو الجاه والمنزلة في القلوب حب الجاه هو منشأ كل فساد. So the love of facade, the love of position, the love of position in the hearts of people, this is the sprouting, this is the foundation of all facade, of all the fitan, all the corruption that can happen. Now, and I alluded to this in previous lessons, but I talked about the fact that so many people, so many great treacheries that have occurred in our history has been due to this hubbul jah of position, people wanting kursi, enemies come and says, we'll give you X, Y, and Z position, and then people indulge in treachery. The story of the invasion of Baghdad is quite interesting. Inshallah, perhaps if we have some time, another time, I'll tell you about it. So, and then that's the end of that portion. And then he asks a question that may occur in the minds. فَإِنْ قُلْتَ فَأَيُّ شَهْرَةٍ تَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ شَهْرَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْخُلَفَاءِ وَالرَّاشِدِينَ وَالْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ وَأِمَّةِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَكَيْفَ فَاتَهُمْ فَضِيلَةُ الْخُمُولِ. He's saying that one may ask that, look, but which fame can be more than the fame of the prophets and the caliphs and the ulama and the scholars and the imams? فَكَيْفَ فَاتَهُمْ. And how did they miss this virtue of khumul? The answer to it, he says, فَعْلَمْ. No. أَنَّ الْمَذْمُومِ. That the blameworthy, the disgusting one, طَلَبُ الشَّهْرَةِ. It is seeking of fame. أَمَّا وُجُودُهَا مِنْ جِهَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ غَيْرِ تَكَلُّفٍ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ فَلَيْسَ مَذْمُومًا مَذْمُومٍ فَلَيْسَ بِمَذْمُومٍ. He said that as for if this comes from Allah, if Allah puts you in a position where this happens, and it's not from you, you do not go into scheming and pretense to create it, then that is from Allah and it is not blameworthy. نعم فيه فتنة على الضعفاء. Yes, of course, it is a great temptation on the weak. It is a great temptation for people who are weak. It is for the strong people, and this is why Allah gives it to the people who have the strength to stomach it, strength to deal with it. So He's saying, على الضعفاء دون الأقوياء, دون الأقوياء. It is not that temptation, that fitna for the أقوياء, for the people who have the strength to deal with it. And then he gives a beautiful example. He says, وذلك كالغريق الضعيف. He said, إذا كان معه جماعة من الغرق فالأولى به أن لا يعرفه أحد منهم. He said, it's like a person who is weak at swimming and he is in a pond where people are drowning. It is better for him, for people not to know him. That because what will happen? Yes? فإنهم يتعلقون به فيضعف عنهم فيهبى يهلك معهم. He said that they will grab onto him and they will drown and he will drown and they will drown. But on the other hand, أما القوي فالأولى أن يعرفه الغرقى ليتعلق به فينجيهم ويثاب على ذلك فينجيهم. That it's as for a person who is a strong swimmer, that if people are drowning around you, then it is better for them to know that you are a strong swimmer, to know you so that they can seek your help and you can bring them out. So that's the difference between the strong and the weak in regard to this, between the prophets and between the great ulama and the likes of us today, the weak people. So the point is that being unknown is not as bad as we tend to think it is, and that there are many virtues in having a simple life in this world, and especially when it is combined with a strong and secret relationship with your Creator, where you are able to worship and speak to Allah with complete sincerity, without seeking the attention of others or seeking status for it. In such moments of solitude with the words of Allah and solitude with the remembrance of Allah, you will find that that elusive optimal experience that eclipses all joys in this world, the optimal flow, the optimal khushu, in which you are carried in the flow of an ever-ending stream of mercies from Allah, of mercies from your Creator. When you feel drawn to serve selflessly those who you love with sacrifice, and you suddenly realize that the driving force that is forcing you to do it is not coming from within you, but it's something else. It is coming from the mercy of Allah. It's a mercy that is flowing through your heart. Then that realization, where you take yourself out of it, that is a moment of optimal experience in life. When you stand in prayer in the middle of the night and suddenly remember the angel that is writing every word you recite, and you become lost in joyous heights, that is an optimal experience in life. These are moments that will fortify your mind and heart to be strong and to be steadfast in the face of hardships in our world. As Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that those who believe and whose hearts find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find tranquility. Among the people who will be honored on the day of judgment, as we are told in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that Allah will have a special shade on the day of judgment, and there will be yawm la dhilla illa dhillu, that there will be no shade except for this special shade. That honor there among the seven people would be someone who ذكر الله خاليا, the one who remembers, ففاضت عيناه, the one who remembers Allah in solitude, who remembers Allah, who thinks about his Allah, who thinks about Allah's favors unto him and his deficiencies, his shortcomings. And then his eyes wells up, ففاضت عيناه, his eyes well up with tears and tears overflow. For that person, for that special moment, he will be granted on the day of judgment special attention. That special honor will be to be in the shade of Allah. That is, in essence, what this is about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all those special moments in this world and the honor of his shade in the next. Let us pray. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive our negligence and guide us to the flow of your mercies and protect our hearts and our minds from doubt and save us from seeking status from others when your approval is what we need most. Oh Allah, turn our hearts toward you in all situations and guide us in the direction of your love. Guide us in the direction of your mercies. For your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that if you have informed us in the Quran that إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that if my servant asks you of me, let them know that I'm near. Oh Allah, make us feel that, make us experience that nearness, and grant us our hope, grant us our yearning for your love, your mercy, and for you to be pleased with us in all that we do. Oh Allah, bring our hearts closer to you. Oh Allah, we are your servants. We are your creatures. We have no other. We have no one to turn to but you. Accept us and guide us to what pleases you. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك, ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا, ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا, واجعله الوارث منا, واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا, وانصرنا على من عادانا, ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا, ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا, ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات, وألف بين قلوبهم, وأصلح ذات بينهم, وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته, ولا همًا إلا فرجته, ولا كربًا إلا نفسته, ولا ميتًا إلا رحمته, ولا مريضًا إلا شفيته, ولا مريضًا إلا شفيته, ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضًا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا عنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على رسوله النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين يا رب يا كريم.